Genesis chapter 4.
See if the projector works on me this evening this time. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to look at one last time. Okay. This evening we're going to look at an interesting character from the Bible. I'm sure we are all familiar with the characters Cain and Abel and how they were brothers, and they were really just mentioned in chapter 4 of Genesis with some other references in other areas of the Bible. But the main bulk of where they're talked about is here in Genesis chapter 4. And what I want us to do specifically is focus mainly on Cain. And what we're going to do with Cain is we're going to notice a type of attitude he had. He had a very selfish attitude, and that selfishness was revealed in four different ways. We're going to see those ways this evening. In Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. The first way we see the way that Cain's selfishness is revealed is in the way that he sacrificed. Just notice this with me. It says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eva," this is talking about Adam, "and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have gotten a male child with the help of the Lord.' Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his sacrifice, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell." And so when you begin looking at this particular passage, when we understand what's going on here, they're offering a sacrifice because they sinned. That's what sacrifices were made. When sacrifices were made to God, they were for sin. They were offerings for sin. But one of the things we got to understand is, well, why did God not have regard for Cain's sacrifice? I mean, was he just showing favoritism with Abel? Well, I want you to consider something with me. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to notice verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 talks about Abel. This is what we've come to know as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about Abel. It says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." And so one of the questions we ask is, well, wait a minute here. By faith, Abel offered that sacrifice. Well, wait a minute here. What does that mean? Does that mean he just kind of threw something together and had blind faith? He just kind of was like, well, here you go, God. I'm just going to throw together a sacrifice and hope you like it. Is that what it's talking about? Where does faith come from? Does it come from just blindly throwing something together or from something else? Romans 10, verse 17. Turn over there, if you will. It's going to give us the answer. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Where does faith come from? It says, "So then faith comes... it comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing by the word of God." You see, Abel and Cain were told how to offer the sacrifice. God didn't just say, throw something together. God didn't just remain silent and allow them to throw something together. They knew what they needed to sacrifice. They knew what God had commanded them to sacrifice. Cain had decided what he was going to offer. He was going to do what he wanted to, even though God said something else. God had specified it. And yet Cain decided to worship God in his own way. That's a very dangerous area to go to. Think of Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, if you will. Turn over there, if you will. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9 talks about the idea of trying to worship God in our own way and going based off of our own think so and what man teaches. Hebrews chapter 15, let's go ahead and back up to verse 8. Matthew's quoting from Isaiah, and he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why?" Verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." You see, God's always wanted his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what John 4, verse 24 tells us. Jesus said, "He who worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth." Cain did his own thing. Cain didn't do that when he offered this sacrifice to God. That reveals a selfish attitude. Is that how we approach God when we worship him? Do we just worship him the way we want to, or do we worship him because, do we worship him the way we worship him because he commanded us to do it that way? That's something we need to reflect on. That's something we really need to take to heart. Do we worship God just because it suits what we like, or because that's what God has commanded? That's something we really need to apply to ourselves. But also we can see Cain's selfishness was revealed in the way he responded to God when God had corrected him. Turn over back over to Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter 4. Back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's continue reading through this, through the events with Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. Let's go ahead and, well, let's go ahead and begin at verse 4 again. It says, "Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of the flock of their own fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his sacrifice. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up?'" That's the idea of his face is drooping right there, if you will. "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Notice how Cain, this is how Cain responded to God's correction. When Cain was told he was wrong, when Cain was told he did not offer a proper sacrifice to God, he went and killed the one who offered the proper sacrifice. You know, his attitude there, once again, reveals a selfish attitude. Rather than repenting and offering the proper sacrifice, he killed the one who did. Think with me to 1 John chapter 3, if you will. 1 John chapter 3, I want you to notice with me verses 10 through 15. 1 John chapter 3, 10 through 15. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. It says, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother." And for what reason did he slay him? "Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Sometimes it can be difficult to love brethren when brethren are nasty at times. I've lived through that a couple of times in my life. Sometimes when brethren fall to error, it's hard to love them. When they are super firm and they say that they hate you. I've had that happen a few times. There's difficult situations out there. But we need to be a people that loves our brethren. But again, we see that Cain hated his brother. And this brings us to the third point. I mean, we see, number one, that Cain was selfish in the fact that he didn't even offer the proper sacrifice to God, even though he knew what was. And then we also see that he was selfish in the way that he responded to God's correction, because he didn't even want to get his heart right. He didn't even want to do the right thing. He didn't even want to make it right. He went and killed the one who did the right thing. But then we see it in the fact that he had no love for God. Turn back over there to Genesis. I want you to notice this. Once again, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 really reflects this. You notice verse 8 again. Cain told Abel, his brother, all that had happened. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Let me ask you something. Is that a demonstration of one's love for God? You know, the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 John. Turn over there, if you will. 1 John chapter 4, back over 1 John. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. Let's look in 1 John chapter 4. This tells us exactly where Cain's heart was. 1 John 4, 20 through 21. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. We see that he had no love for God from this point. But there's another point to think about this as well. Cain did not follow what God commanded. Therefore, even before the sacrifice was even offered, we see a lack of love. Turn over to Matthew 22. I want you to notice this. Matthew chapter 22. Notice with me verses 35 through 40. Matthew chapter 22. 35 through 40, Jesus is being asked several questions of different folks around him. Verse 34 begins, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. When you look at the Old Testament, what is that talking about right there? On these two commands, loving God and loving your neighbor, what is that talking about there? Why is it those two depend on that? What is that talking about? He's basically saying, what you're going to find in the Old Testament, it was instructions for the Jewish people on how one shows their love for God. I'm reminded of John chapter 14, verse 15. I'm sure many of us know the verse. Jesus himself said to his apostles, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Notice also 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." We show our love for God when we follow what He has told us to do. Cain didn't even love God from the start because he wasn't wanting to offer the proper sacrifice. You've got to understand that. Sadly, many folks, even today in the religious world, they want to worship God in whatever way they feel like. Some of you may have heard the phrase, "Well, God wants me to be happy." Sometimes they use that to justify, well, worshiping God just however they want to, however they please. It's a phrase that is sadly really misunderstood, or rather, really misses the point. Yes, God does want us to be happy, but we have to follow Him. And when that happens, we can enjoy that happiness in heaven with Him. That's the point. Many folks, they go that and they go to that phrase and they use it to justify so many different things. You also see them say, "Well, God doesn't care how we worship." Well, that's not what the Bible says at all. He cared about it with Cain. You can see this throughout even the Old Testament, Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. When those folks were brought, when those folks, Nadab and Abihu, had brought that strange fire to the Lord, turn over there, if you will, Leviticus chapter 10. Notice this with me, Leviticus chapter 10. I want you to notice verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them." Notice that. That's the key phrase there, "which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before the people, I will be honored.' Therefore, Aaron kept silent." Brethren, we need to have the love for God that we need to have. That means that we need to keep His commandments. That's how we show our love for God. To go off and do our own thing and do something that God has not authorized and do something different than what God has commanded, that shows the very exact opposite. We see that with Cain. And it's a selfish attitude to have. "I think I got a better idea." Brethren, God said what He wanted. That's where we need to be. Folks do this with mechanical instruments. You see in Ephesians 5, verse 19, that Paul had written that we need to be singing and making melody with the heart, not with mechanical instruments. And yet so many people, they want to just add them in. Brethren, God was specific about what He wanted. We need to do what God has commanded. That's how we show our love for God. As we see in 1 John 5, once again, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's what we need to do. But the fourth thing we see with Cain, when we think about these ways that he revealed his selfishness, is the way he responded when confronted by God. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 4. Because after he killed his brother Abel, and he was confronted by God, we see the selfish attitude really take hold, if you will. Really take observance, for lack of a better word. Genesis chapter 4. I want you to notice this, what goes on here. Beginning in verse 9, this is right after he killed his brother. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know." He lied right there. There's one way that his selfishness is revealed. He lies when God asks him where his brother is. He's focused on himself the entire thing. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." This is interesting what happens next. Because Cain responds to God. Right after God gives this punishment to him. I want you to count how many times Cain references his brother Abel in these next two verses. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. And from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me." Nothing about Abel there, but a lot of personal pronouns. Here he has just killed his own brother. "Oh, what have you done to me, God? This punishment is too much. Look what you did to me." That's Cain's response to this. Cain is focused on number one throughout this entire process. Some of you, I think I quoted this back in July when I was with you. There's a song goes, "I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. I want to talk about number one." That's Cain's attitude right here. Once again, over and over again, we see the selfishness of Cain revealed. He had no remorse for his actions. He didn't even repent. Nor did he even apologize for what he did to his own brother. That's a horrible thing that happened. That's a horrible thing that occurred. Selfishness is a very dangerous thing. It led Cain to do all these evil things that we see. How he responded to correction, how he responded to how he needed to worship God, how he responded when he was confronted by God, even to the very fact that he didn't love God. That's where selfishness will take us. I'm reminded of a couple passages in the New Testament. Turn over to 1 John 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" This is talking about those who are able to help out their own brother, and yet they close their hearts. They don't even go near their brother. They don't want anything to do with that, helping their brother. That's not an attitude we should have. This is a form of selfishness right here, but there's one other passage I want us to consider as well. Turn over to the book of James, if you will. Turn over to James. I want you to notice with me, James chapter 3, verse 14. Selfishness is a very dangerous thing, and let it should never be named among us. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. You keep going on down to verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Not just some evil things, not just a handful of evil things. It says every evil thing. That's a warning to us. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone here that is selfish, that's an attitude we need to cast aside. It's an attitude unbecoming of God's people. If there's anyone here that has a selfish attitude, we need to cast that away. Perhaps you're here this evening and you struggle with that. Perhaps you struggle with selfishness. Perhaps you're in that sin and you need to leave it. You need to get rid of it. You can come forward this evening. Ask for prayers of the congregation, and we'll help you. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We'll pray on your behalf that the sin might be forgiven you and for forgiveness and for assistance with being able to leave that behind and to cast it aside. But perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel. Perhaps you've never obeyed God's word. Perhaps among all those sins you've been selfish. You've kept God out of your life because of selfish reasons. Why not come to Him this evening? The Bible makes it clear on what one must do to be saved. First of all, you got to believe John and believe in Jesus. John 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We've quoted Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, two verses down in verse 6. It tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For the one who comes unto God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But you also have to repent. Repentance is a change of heart or change of mind. Paul told the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that they needed to repent. He told them very clearly that God commands every man everywhere to repent. But you also have to confess Jesus as Lord. The Ethiopian eunuch made that confession in Acts 8, verse 37, when he declared, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." But you also have to be baptized. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 tells us, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. And once you've done that, you need to arise to walk in the newness of life as we see described in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, and continue to live a life faithful to God. Revelation 2, verse 10 talks about that when Jesus said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." If there's anyone here this morning that needs, or this afternoon, that needs to do that, please don't hesitate. You can do so this evening. Or perhaps you need to return to God. Maybe you've obeyed that, but you're not living faithfully. Maybe you fell into selfishness, as we've talked about this evening. Or maybe you've fallen into some other sin. Why not return? You can do so. Coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins. And we'll pray to God for forgiveness on your behalf. If you need to get your heart right with God, please do not hesitate. Get it right with Him right now as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
world has been left prepared for those who do not have an opportunity to commune with the saints this morning. It is your desire to partake of this memorial. Please identify yourself, raising your hand. Let us pray. Most divine Father in heaven, we thank thee for the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, dying there on the cross for our sins. We pray, thee, Father, for this bread which represents his body as he hung suspended between heaven and earth. We pray that the one that is about to partake of it may do so in a way to be pleasing unto thee and in accordance with thy divine word. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our thanks, Heavenly Father, as we surround this memorial in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was shed. We pray that those who are about to partake of this fruit of the vine may do so in a way to be pleasing unto thee and in accordance with your divine word. For we humbly pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your song list to number 416. Let's sing the first and last verses of that song as our closing song here this afternoon. Is there any announcements we need to make?
Mike, I talked to my cousin right before services, and Carter, 40-year-old great grandson, not doing very well. Doctor said he's got another brain bleed on the other side of his head now. He's got a bacterial infection. Remember him, family, prayer. Appreciate it.
Yeah, let's remember Carter, and hopefully the surgery will go well, or things will go well his way, that he might recover to a full state of health. Also, let's give a special prayer for Brother Roger as he goes under surgery tomorrow morning to replace the heart valve. Hopefully everything will go well with that surgery as well. Let's remember our midweek Bible services at 1 Wednesday evening at 7. I invite you all back at that time. Is there anything else we need to make mention of? If not, after standing and singing the first and last verse, number 416, ask Brother Steve Anderson to word our closing prayer. Let's sing.
Whate'er you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do not in name of man or greed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all. Do all in the name of the Lord, in word or deed.
you go with us each and every one.